Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
We are in a series right now called The Best Question Ever, just a few weeks into it. Today we're gonna recap just a real quick bit for those of you. Maybe this is your first time with us, or maybe you've missed one of the other weeks. This question is about simplifying life and avoiding regrets. I don't know about you, but there's things that I've done that I regret. Anybody else? There have been things that I have done that I regret, and because of that, I need to learn a better way to make decisions, and this can help us do that. So. This question is, what is the wise thing to do? There's three points of reference that we've kind of talked about that, that give us a clear focus of that question. So it's in light of my past experience. What is the wise thing to do seems a little generic, but when you start thinking about your past experience, it gives it some parameters. It gives it some focus, right? And then you balance that in with your current responsibilities. I mean, you got ideas, you got this and that going on, but I also have things I'm doing right now that have to happen right now. And so I balance that in with my past experience, my current responsibilities, and I also make them in light of my future hopes and dreams. Because if I don't ever save up, I'll never have anything when I get there, right? If I don't make plans to get there, if I don't start, I can't ever get to the destination. And so it's important that we recognize those parameters and give us clear focus about it. It leverages all of me into a wise decision-making process. Everything that I have, all the lessons I've learned and the personal insight that I've gained, all the roles and the seasons that I'm carrying right now, and all the plans and outcomes that I can't afford to forfeit. It makes all that come into focus. It all comes to bear, and it plays out in real time. And that's where we land, where we focus on today, is on time. This all plays out in real time. We don't get a timeout in life. You say, oh, hold on, just wait a second, I got to breathe. It's still going, right? It doesn't stop. It doesn't wait for us. Life and time continues to cruise on very quickly. There's no pause button. There's no halftime recalibration. It's just tick, 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 tick. And there goes my sermon time because I'm saying tick too many times. Okay, so flashback for a moment, if you will. Flashback about a month ago. Just go there for a second. And all the decisions, all the things that have come and gone in the past month, all the moments that have happened, all the stuff that's gone on, right? Or flashback, maybe flashback 3 years. How many choices? And you're like, well, that's pretty generic, Pastor. Well, about 3.5 years ago, you guys were choosing a pastor. So we flash back there, right? And a lot of decisions and a lot of things have happened since then. A lot of transition, a lot of changes, a lot of life has happened. And we don't get any of that back. We don't redo any of it. We spend it. We either spend it or we invest it, right? It's very key that we recognize that. And if you went back 10 or 15 years or like another life ago, time is relentlessly surging on. Andy Stanley says that time is life. If you've read your book and you read the chapter for this week, you got that part. Time is life. We don't get to redo it. We don't to recalibrate that. It happens and it's going. You can run out of friends and still have life left. You can run out of money and still have life left. Hopefully that doesn't happen, right? When you run out of time, that's it. On the flip side, you can always make more friends. You can always make more money. You can always take another trip or do something else, right? You can always do that. But when you're out of time, it's over. Job 14, verse 5 tells us this: a person's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. The Lord ordains those steps in those moments. God has set a limit, and we must admit that if we are to make the most of our time, we have to recognize that he has given us a finite, a limited amount of time in this life to invest, to use, to spend, to accomplish whatever it is we're trying to get done. It'd be foolish to think you're going to live forever in this life, right? Because we know that we're going to come to an end of this life at some point. We have a limited amount of time. Psalm 90, verse 12 says this, to teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Somebody's calling right now at the church. You hear the phone ringing? Oh, it stopped. Okay, all right. Nope, there it goes again. We're in church, sorry. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. If we don't have a recognition of the idea that I only have a certain amount of opportunity in front of me, we will waste our time. We will miss out. We won't have wise choices. We'll have shallow choices. We'll have thin decisions that don't last and don't stand up over the test of time. It's very surprising, even though we all realize it, but time goes very fast. It goes quickly. And here's the sad thing. Where does it go? Right? Where does it go? This is straight out of the book. I'm not even pulling any punches. It just goes away, doesn't it? Like yesterday, you did stuff and you might have accomplished a couple of things, but yesterday's gone and it just went away. It's gone. Done, right? We can't stockpile it. We can't save it for later. We can't use it some other time. It doesn't work that way. When we flash back, we often will ask, where did the time go? And Andy challenges us to rephrase that and say, where did my life go? What did I spend my life on? Not just my time, right? It's a sobering reality. And it pushes us to bring more focus to the best question ever. In light of my past, in light of my present, and in light of my future, what is the wise way to invest my time, my days, my weeks, my months? Today's message is a challenge of time management. Jesus had 33 years. I've had 41. I won't ask you how many you've had, but you've had a few. More importantly, not knowing how much time you have left. What is the wise thing to do? I'm not trying to scare tactic anybody here. I'm trying to shake us a bit and realize that we get fleeting moments of day-by-day living. And if we don't recognize that there's a limit on that, we'll just keep on cruising along like we've got plenty. But what if we felt an urgency? Have you ever heard the phrase, live like Jesus died yesterday, rose today, and he's coming back tomorrow? You ever heard that phrase? We'd probably do things differently, wouldn't we? If we knew the day, if we said Jesus is coming back April 30th, our lives would be different on April 29th, wouldn't they? Right? Because there's things that we have to balance and leverage and deal with, responsibilities because of our current responsibilities and our future hopes and dreams of if I sold it all today and gave it all, then I wouldn't eat tomorrow, right? Because if Jesus didn't come back tomorrow, because he didn't say that we'd know the time, so we can't really borrow that. But what we have to recognize is there's an urgency about our time. There must be. There has to be, or we won't spend it wisely. Not knowing how much time we have left should drive us to the question of what is the wise way to spend my time. There's five lessons that we're going to look at really quickly today to help us grasp the idea of wasting or investing our time and our life. The first one is this: the cumulative value of small investments over a long period. We've got to recognize this lesson. There is a cumulative value of small investments over a long period of time that adds up. You recognize this very obviously in exercise, right? You don't just all of a sudden get strong one day. You have to exercise. You don't just all of a sudden, I'm just going to get in shape tomorrow. It doesn't work that way, right? Because it takes little bits of time, small investments over a long period of time, then they have a cumulative value. They have a growing value to them. There's a compounding and increasing value in small increments over a long period of time. A steady routine doesn't show results overnight, but it does in time. We realize this in finances. putting a little aside adds up over time. We realize this in a lot of arenas, putting the kids to bed. You're like, well, that takes forever. Yeah, but also think about the investment of relationship there. If you just did that once a month versus the nightly routine of putting those kids to bed, that small investment of time as you put them to bed, building relationship, building the history. Ethan and I have a wonderful story that we still haven't written down, have we, Ethan? We had a whole list of stuff that we were. We're Gatorade guzzlers. We're trooper dudes. We're headlock honchos. We had all sorts of names that we were because we're pals, right? We're buddies. And we'd go over that every night. We'd go through this whole list, and sometimes we'd add some. And about 5 years ago, we both were like, yeah, what was that list? We should write that down. And so now it's a running joke. We've forgotten what that is. But that invested time we spent together building relationship. If I'm not there, Dad, I can't put my kids to bed. Come on, fellas. If I'm not involved, if I'm too busy in front of the TV, I can't spend that time investing with them and praying them to sleep. And then I wish some way down the road, I wish they'd come talk to me, but I didn't build the groundwork for them to come do that, did I? So we got to recognize that time, that small investments over time, whether it's putting the kids to bed or having family dinner times. A family dinner isn't magical every time, is it? Sometimes it's disastrous, right? Stuff spilled and messed everywhere, right? But if you don't have those opportunities, if you don't create those windows of time, then you don't have a framework for something great to fit in. You have to have that steady involvement there so that you can have those moments as they come to you. Small increments of time invested have a cumulative value. Date nights, church attendance, prayer, watering flowers and plants. I mean, this is really simple, right? You don't just dump 80 gallons of water on a plant today. There, it's done. It has all the water it needs for the whole year. Doesn't work that way, does it? You know, it takes a little bit here and a little bit there. It takes a small investment over a long period of time. We don't notice the gains day to day, but we do over a period of time. Second lesson today. Rarely are there immediate consequences for neglecting single installments. Rarely do we feel the pinch when we miss that small increment of time. You miss that one family dinner that weekend. Somebody else or the kids just go to bed on their own or whatever those. You miss a workout. Nobody's ever done that, right? You miss a workout or something like that. You rarely feel a huge pinch over that single missed moment. Which tells us what? There's nothing wrong with it if we're shallow, right? If we're thin, if we're weak on this concept, we'll say it doesn't hurt, so therefore it must not be bad. And again, you're asking the wrong questions. What we see is that oftentimes, yeah, missing one time doesn't break the world. We don't feel the pinch of a single installment getting forgotten or ignored. Missing one workout does not destroy your body. Missing one service does not destroy your soul. You can even eat junk food for days at a time and your body will still keep working. Maybe even weeks. If you're Jacob Caudill, even months. I don't know if you guys know Jacob. He eats junk like constantly. I don't know how he does it. Anyway, he's the candy man. Okay. So you can do that, maybe even a month or two and never pay for it. The single instance doesn't pinch. It doesn't hurt. But the long term costs us. So that's why we tend to hit the snooze button, right? Because it's not that big a deal. If we don't feel the pinch immediately, we can still make it. What if the consequences were felt immediately every time we missed a moment like that? We wouldn't dare miss them, would we? But we've conditioned ourselves to recognize that there's oftentimes that single installment's not that big a deal. We need to put some money aside, but we also wanted to do this, so let's not savings this month. Let's just spend it on this. And then on and on and on and on we go. Number three, the neglect has a cumulative effect. You've never heard the word cumulative so many times in one sermon, have you? Neglect has a cumulative effect. Neglect will add up over time. This may be so severe that it can't even be fixed. Do we recognize that? Sometimes this neglect will add up. It will compound and it will grow to the point where you literally cannot fix it. You cannot make up for it. You cannot get it back to where it should be. A marriage filled with neglect will struggle to survive, if it even does at all. Arteries filled with garbage sometimes cannot be cleared without major or catastrophic intervention, right? You can't just change your diet. Once some things are stuck, you got to go in there and Roto-Rooter or something, right? You're in trouble. And sometimes that doesn't even cure it, right? It takes major catastrophic situations for us to realize this sometimes. You can't make your minimum card payment, or you can even do this. You can make your minimum credit card payment and get deeper in debt as you go. Isn't that insane? The idea that you can be making your minimal payment and actually your debt gets larger every time. Neglect has a compounding effect that way. If you don't mow your yard in the spring, your yard will show for it, and it will show it all year long. Unless you do major renovation, right? Have you ever waited too long to mow your yard in the spring? Like, oh, it's not time yet. Oh, it's not time yet. And then all of a sudden, it's like a foot deep, and you got to like bail it, you know? Haul people to come haul it out of your yard. And then it kills the rest of the grass, right? Because the clippings are too heavy if you don't get them out of there. And your yard will show it all year long because you missed one or two early on in the wrong season, right? What about relationships? Man, neglect can really show up there, can't it? If we don't invest in those relationships in a timely way, in small seasons and small doses all along the way, you can't just have a cram session and fix it all at once. When we neglect arenas like family and finances or dishes or Bible study and prayer, the neglect adds up. Small investments have value over time, but so does neglect. And what do those missed opportunities add up to? They create problems for us. Number four, lesson number four. There is no cumulative value to the urgent things that interfere with the important things. This is something we have to realize and recognize. When you miss the workout, what did you do instead of the workout? Slept. Right? I just got so much healthier. I got so much more rested, right? When you miss those steady installments, when you go back to the year when you made, I don't want to know. I'll just hypothetically, I'll pretend somebody made a New Year's resolution to get in shape. I'll just assume. I'll pretend. Anybody ever heard of that? New Year's resolution, this is the year we're getting in shape. I'm losing the blah, 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 LBs, whatever, right? And so you make that, and so you've got this plan. In January, all those memberships, those gym memberships, man, everybody's going. They're drinking water. No, I don't want soda today. I bet soda sales go down in January. I'm off the soda, man. And then in February, we're back, right? But all those moments, maybe you miss a workout or two here or there, or maybe you miss a moment of bedtime with the kids, or maybe you miss a weekend or something because you pick something else. Oftentimes, you can't determine what it is you spent that time on. You just know it went away. You have nothing to show for it. There's nothing cumulatively added to your life. Nothing was increased or improved upon. You just didn't. And the time just went away. And we fill it with meaningless stuff, right? With simple things. And I'm not just preaching at everybody here. I'm here too. There's times when we have schedules or ideas or opportunities going on, and we miss them, and we're like, well, what did you do instead of that important thing? And you're like, what did I do that weekend? Brooke drugged me yesterday. Yesterday I woke up and I was itching. I had some thing going on my neck, and I'm like, oh gosh. And she's like, here, take some Benadryl. And I was like, okay, great. Hey, Molly, let's sit down and watch some Saturday morning TV together. Ethan was at work. Molly, let's have some cereal. We're going to watch some Saturday morning shows and Mo Rocca and Innovation Nation. Anybody watch that with their kid? It's really cool stuff. It's great for adults too. Anyway, so we're sitting down to watch this. And I sit down and I like finish my cereal, and I'm like, Benadryl. Gone. Like 2 hours, I'm gone. I'm like coming in and out of a coma. Like, what happened? In and out. Like, you drugged me. I lost my whole Saturday, and I can't show anything for it. It's gone. Perfect weather, and I'm laying on a couch under a blanket, sleeping because I got drugged. It just went away. That Saturday morning moment, that Saturday opportunity went away, and I got nothing to show for it because I just squandered it, right? Now, that's light and easy, and that's funny, and ha, 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 pastor wasted a Saturday morning. Whatever. Anyway, so that's nice, but the reality is that we do this in real arenas of life, real deal situations. Time with our spouse or our kids, work opportunities, financial avenues. We squander our moments, and then we don't have anything to show for it, and we're like, oh, well, it wasn't that big a deal. But deep down, you know, we've missed those moments. We've missed out on that. And that's what regret does to us. And so regret teaches us to learn a hard lesson, because in light of our past experiences, we know we're easy and prone to do that, right? So we've got to weigh that into our decision-making process. There's no cumulative value. Last year, I set out to race to 10,000 push-ups, and I eventually did 12,000 push-ups last year. That was a goal that I had. You're like, that's stupid. It was, whatever. You know, it's great. It was a goal. Along the way, I noticed that my daily investments were getting easier. It was paying off as I go. I didn't just start doing push-ups one day and then knock out 100. Especially real push-ups. Not like this fake ones where everyone just goes, you know, real push-ups, like all the way down, right? And I didn't notice that instantly. I didn't see any, but over time, over those months, I noticed it was easier to go. I could get more push-ups in. It wasn't so much of a strain. I remember on when we first started that, I knocked out a couple hundred. I was like, I'm going gung-ho. And I did a couple hundred one day, and the next day I was like, oh my gosh, I can't move, right? I was trying to figure that out. But so I did notice that if I slacked too long, that even my daily investments wouldn't catch up. Like, I had to schedule a goal to get there. And if I missed too many days, I'd work real hard for a few days and I wouldn't even get to where I should have been in the first place, much less getting ahead. You guys understand what I'm saying? It took a Herculean, superhuman effort to get back to where it could have been easily just by those simple installments along the way, because I would miss times and I would miss days. My 50 or 100 would use today's effort and I'd still be behind. And when I did miss, when I didn't do my push-ups that day, you know what I did instead? Pfft. No clue. Just watched the TV, scrolled Facebook a little bit, hit the snooze button, stood in the shower longer. Anybody done that? Just stood in the shower for longer because I could, because I didn't do my push-ups. I go, ah. There's a lot of cumulative value there, isn't there, right? That's what I'm trying to recognize. That's what we have to see, is that those little things that interrupt the important things, those things that seem urgent and instant in that moment, often they are robbing us of what's important, and it's our decision-making that's doing it. We are robbing ourselves. We are robbing ourselves of those moments if we're not careful. We must recognize this in the major areas of life. We must understand that the value that is gained or lost this way. And it's what we become or what we miss out on. Random pursuits that interrupt our important routines don't add up to anything. It's not just wasting time, it is wasting what? It's wasting your life. Do we realize that? It's not just wasting our time, it's wasting our life. We only go this way once. We need to make the most of it. Have you ever looked at the accomplishments of others and wished that you had done that too? Somebody else achieved some goal and you're like, I could have done that. Why didn't you? Because I don't know. I could do that. That's not that big a deal. I could do that. Well, then do it. But we don't tend to follow through, do we? So we got to look at it. When we recognize the accomplishments of somebody else, we should realize that they invested the time. We have to realize this and invest our time, our life, into what is wise. The fifth lesson today, as you know if you've read the book, is this. In the critical arenas of life, you cannot make up for lost time. In the critical arenas of life, you cannot make up for lost time. We've all tried it. A cram session before a test, right? Haven't studied all year long, but oh no, I got to get an A on this one today. Just trying. I had a friend in high school. We had advanced biology. It was a college level course. And he had a photographic memory. Made me sick. And we walk in the day of a test, and it was often very book-heavy material, right? And so I'd be studying the day before, reading through and highlighting and trying to figure all this out. And he'd walk in the day of the test. I'd walk in, and he'd just be sitting there in class going like this through the textbook. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I was just taking some pictures. It's like, you jerk. And he would just ace everything. This is stupid. Anyway, he had a brain that could work that way. But most of us all recognize that cramming for a test doesn't always work. Sometimes it does. Many times it doesn't, as well as the steady investment of time. What about driving faster when you're late? Right? There's some people going, it works for me all the time, Pastor. I drive about 95 everywhere. Okay. Those sometimes work, but not in critical arenas. You can't cram for a relationship. It doesn't work. You can't speed up the process. It just takes small investments of time. You can't get healthy today. I'm going to do this today. I'm just going to exercise until my body's in the right shape. I'm just going to keep going. You'll either die today or tomorrow, or wish you had tomorrow, right? For how sore you'll be. In the critical arenas of life, you can't just make up for lost time. With kids, it's here and then it's gone. It comes and goes. You can't cram for that. In marriage, you can't just rescue a neglected marriage with a magical weekend. It doesn't work that way. You can't just, I've ignored you for 6 months, but now we're going to go do a couple things you like, and that means we're going to be okay now. It doesn't work that way. And if that's your theory on relationships, we need to talk. Because it doesn't work that way. Relationships take time. They take steady investments of time. You can't just have a dinner tour, like the book says. Just go out and eat for 6 hours to make up for all the family meals you missed the last month. Let's just keep eating. What else do you want to talk about? Let's talk about it now. You ever tried to create a Kodak moment? Like just the music's just right, the lighting, the angle of the camera, everything's right, and you try to just create this. I saw this Facebook video the other day. This guy was trying to create a moment of his engagement, and so he pops the question on this girl, and she just passes out and busts her head on concrete, you know, boom, just gonk right out. You're trying to create a Kodak moment like that, right? And we like to try to do that. We want to have this perfect scene, this wonderful scenario. We want to cram all this into a moment here and prepare it and preordain it like we're God or something. And it just doesn't happen that way. Those are awkward moments, aren't they? I had all this done just for you. See ya. Bye-bye. No, it gets really strange because we can't cram for relationships. We can't make up for lost time in the critical arenas of life. It takes setting and context and history and shared experience. It takes relationship. So with this understanding of the time in front of us, the time we still have, let's look back at our series text for a moment. And it tells us this. Is that up there, Ephesians 5? Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We are making the most of every opportunity. That's Paul's charge. That's Paul's challenge to us. The original language carries the idea of redeeming time or getting its full value. And sadly, busyness has robbed way too many of us. Many of us are very, very busy. Somebody will say, hey, how's it going, man? Oh, it's been, what do we say? It's been busy, man, real busy. That's like a bragging right, right? Like, oh, I'm just, you know, bored, ain't doing nothing. No, we got to sound like we're important, right? So, oh, I'm busy, man, that's just busy. But oftentimes, busyness robs us too. Because we'll be really good and really involved in things that don't really matter. You can be very, 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 very busy and very unproductive at the exact same time. I could run up and down this aisle and get nothing done the whole sermon, right? Very busy, very unproductive. And I think that's where we chase ourselves around sometimes. We are absolutely full of busyness and full of ideas and full of different things that some matter, and some of them, man, they, let's be honest, they, some of those things just don't even matter. I've learned something these last few years in my 40s now. I'm old and slowed down now. I thought somebody might laugh. Anyway, I've learned that LeBron James doesn't care if I'm watching him or not. That just like dawned on me a little while back. He has no idea, nor does he care if I'm watching while he does his thing. He's not my kid. I'm not his kid. There's no relationship there. But how much time have I spent invested in observing his skill set? Or that of other professional whatevers, right? Just investing my time as though this, I got convicted about this a couple years ago at a men's retreat. I was so bent out of shape because it dawned on me how interested I was in the fourth quarter and finishes of games and how often that over, especially on the East Coast, it often overlapped bedtimes and praying with my kids. And they'd go to bed and I'd be like, oh, they're going to bed. Good night. Okay, give me hugs, kisses, bye-bye, you know, whatever. And I can't get those moments back. I saw what the NBA playoffs did. I saw the draft and who got drafted and who didn't and whatever. But I can't go back and have those moments with my kids again. Right? I've got to recognize this in front of the time I have left so that I can do the wise thing from here on, right? I can't undo anything I've done. That's frustrating, isn't it? I can't go fix it. I can't reinvest this. I can't make up for the lost time. I can't redo the whole thing, but I can do the right thing from here. Amen? We need to spend ourselves on what matters most. And then let the leftover time be where we invest in the things that don't matter. I think oftentimes we get it upside down. That's what we accuse of our kids of doing, right? They're busy doing things that don't matter, and we're like, hey, do this, hey, do that, this is so important. And they're just doing stuff that doesn't matter, and we see that and they don't, right? So we got to recognize that. So ask this question, what needs to change? This is about me, this is about you, this is about individuals recognizing I have a set number of days left, I have a set amount of time to invest in the decisions, the things that really matter most. What needs to change? What needs to stop? Just man or woman up right now and just admit to yourself what needs to stop. Not, wow, that'll be harder. That'd be better if I didn't. No, what needs to stop? And we need to make a decision. Right, church? Make a decision, and then we need to follow through. You and I are the product of our choices. Whatever I choose to do today, I become the result of that tomorrow. And I need to recognize what needs to change in my life. What needs to stop? What has no business in my life? Why am I spending my time and my life on that? What should I cancel or what should I end? What should win my time? What is worthy of my time? The next thought is the crux of this application, where you really find the truth, and it's in the area of owning up or wising up instead of doing what's required. There are things that aren't bad or wrong. Maybe they might even be good or fun things, but they might not belong in your life. Is that hard to swallow? I'll cringe. Is that better if we do it that way? Ugh, I'm sorry. But it's true. There might be things that are good, fun. They're not illegal. They're not immoral. They're not unethical. They are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. But they might have no business in your life. They might not belong there. Are we willing to examine it that way? Well, Pastor, what am I supposed to put there? Well, you're supposed to put the things that matter most there. And if those are negotiables, then why are we spending our time on it? Imagine if you're just paying out dollars for those things that don't really matter to you, but it's actually life that you're spending. And you're just spending and spending it. We wouldn't do that with our cash. Let's not do it with our life. So you ask yourself, there's nothing wrong with this, but in light of this situation, my current experience or my current responsibilities, my past experiences, my future hopes and dreams, it would be wise for me to get rid of this, to do this differently, to spend it another way. Recognizing what really matters most and pursuing that. This is intentional living. As we consider the future, carefully evaluate how you allocate your time now. Wisdom will reward you, and unwise choices will rob you. They will rob you. Shortcuts and easy routes will tempt you, and we are certain that it'll work for us, right? We see the shortcut, we see the quick angle. Oh, I'll just do it this easier way. Just like we're the rabbit racing the turtle, right? And we're just certain the story's going to come out different because we're different. And we all know how that story ends, right? The tortoise and the hare. I'm going to change it that way. The word's different. There you go. We're all just, oh, we can make it. It'll be different. I'm plenty fast enough. We can make this happen. It'll work out all right. And we just keep lying to ourselves. And lying to ourselves and expecting our kids to have a deep relationship with us when we haven't built into it. We want them to talk about what we want to talk about, but we never talk about what they want to talk about. Right? And all of a sudden, we don't understand why they don't want to hear what we have to say. Your enemy is not your neighbor. Your enemy is not the other team that you're playing. Your enemy is not the authorities in your life. You have one enemy. And his name is Satan. And all he wants to do is steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he wants to do. The people around you, the people next to you, the people that the guy in my neighborhood yesterday washing his car five houses away with his stereo blaring and playing all sorts of filth on his stereo, and I'm in my yard and I hear that, he's not my enemy. I had to convince myself of that yesterday. He is not my enemy. That's not my enemy. Satan is my enemy. And he just wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything in my life. Jesus is calling us. He is pointing us to life, to the best life possible. Sin and neglect have messy and dreadful results, but wisdom offers life and hope and eternal results through Jesus Christ. We've all sinned, we've all made messes that we cannot fix. Can't fix them. But God offers forgiveness through Jesus. If time is life, what are we spending it on? If your days, weeks, months, years, if that is your currency of life, what are you spending it on? There's seasonal things that we would rather not spend it on, but we need to. We should. The word school comes to mind. Right? I don't have to do this all the time. Because it's preparing you for a next step. It's preparing you, teaching you how to learn. Maybe not what to learn, but how to learn at least. And you need those steps. You need to take those steps. They're necessary in your current responsibilities, the roles that you have now. Many of us have hopes and dreams for the future, but we don't see how we're going to get there because of the overwhelming nature of our current responsibilities. how our time is just completely blocked up. We are just booked. And I'm challenging all of us to take a look at that schedule, figure out what's busy and what's profitable. What's necessary and what's just a desire that really doesn't give us anything to show for it. It doesn't reward us in any way. That's what unwise decisions do. They don't reward us in any way. They actually just take our time. They just rob us. What needs to be more regular in your life? What needs to be deleted? What needs to be recognized as wasting time or investing it? Let me tell you this. Right now, salvation is on the table before you. And that's being right with God and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what this church is all about. Jesus commissioned us to go and make disciples. And that's what we're doing. And that begins by getting forgiveness and becoming in a right relationship with Jesus.
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.